Let's come in our Bibles. We're coming to the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5. It's difficult to know where to start when you're starting a gospel mission. I'm coming into a well-known story that the gospel has been preached on many, many times. But don't let familiarity breed contempt this evening. 2 Kings chapter 5. The Lord Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we're thinking about truth over these 2 weeks, and the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If we preach Jesus, we're preaching truth. If you get Jesus Christ, you've got truth, and you'll understand what truth is this evening. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not enough to hear the truth. You must accept the truth. Respond to the truth, and you'll be set wonderfully and gloriously free. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're reading from verse number 1, please. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my lord, with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel, that the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, "Wash and be thou clean"? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, and errant word to our hearts here this evening. This man, Naaman, was a mighty man. I have no doubt that if he was filling in his CV, it would be very, very impressive. We could think about the person of Naaman this evening. He was a very capable man. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria." He was like Corporal Tim Collins, as we would know him, or perhaps he had a high rank of field marshal. He was a man who had worked himself up through the ranks. He would have been a disciplined man. He would have been an outstanding character. He was certainly a capable man. He was a likable man. Sometimes people are capable, but they're not likable. Sometimes people are likable, but not that capable. But he was both. He was capable and likable. It says he was a great man with his master. He got on well with the king. He was a likable character. And that's the sort of person that Naaman was. He was an honorable man, it says so in verse number 1. Some soldiers are dishonorably discharged, but not Naaman. He was an honorable man. He was a decent, upstanding citizen. He was a dependable man. Look at verses 1 again. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." He's the sort of man, if you were in a tight spot and you were in a battle, you look around, he's by your shoulder. He's not an armchair general. He's not an armchair soldier. He was a man that when the heat was on, he was there at the front of the battle. That's the sort of man that Naaman was. He was a mighty man of valor. As they say, he seemed a decent, upright citizen. We could think of the person this evening, but then he had a big problem. He had a big problem. Perhaps one of the most glamorous ladies and one of the most photographed ladies in the world is the Princess of Wales, known as Kate Middleton by some people. And what a glamorous lady she is. And when people looked upon her, I've no doubt that many would have envied how she looked. Perhaps many of the young ladies wanted to be like that princess. And yet we've discovered in recent days that underneath that beauty, there's cancer. And of course, we would want to pray for her and indeed pray for the king at this time as well. And you know, Naaman was like that. Underneath this fine-looking man, this fine figure of a man, there was a big problem. It says, but he was a leper. He was decaying, he was dying, and at that stage there was no known cure for leprosy. He was a man that was destined to die. There was no hope for him whatsoever. And you see, leprosy in the Word of God is a picture of sin. Because tonight there may be in this meeting some decent, upright, good-living citizens that no one could point a finger at. You're a good neighbor, you're a good husband, you're a good wife, you're good children, and no one could really say anything about you. But just like Naaman, there's something inside that's not right tonight. Leprosy begins as something small. In Leviticus, we're told it's usually just a spot. Seems insignificant, doesn't seem a problem. And maybe sin doesn't seem a problem for you. Hebrews 3 verse 13 talks about the deceitfulness of sin. And maybe you think, well, sin's no big problem to me. And yet if that sin's not dealt with, if that sin's not under the blood of Jesus Christ, that sin will take you to a sinner's hell. It's a big problem for you tonight. Before the Lord can do anything for you, there has to be that acknowledgement. Like all of us had to acknowledge that we're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth hurts at times. Wonder if you ever had to tell someone the truth and you know it's going to be painful. And the temptation is to water it down a little bit or to gently tell them the truth, but the truth hurts at times. And this is a truth that hurts a lot of people. Because we feel we're okay, we feel we're doing not too bad. When we look at ourselves and look at others, maybe even around this town of Ballymena, and we see other people and they're so steeped in sin, and compared with them, we're not that bad. And yet this book says tonight, if you've never been to Calvary, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner tonight. And the wages of sin is death. And that word death means eternal separation from God and hell for all eternity. Leprosy would mean banishment. They would move into leprous colonies and they wouldn't be able to meet with their family. There would be that separation. And of course, sin separates in time, but the separation in eternity is much worse. I've had a couple of funerals recently and we've sung that hymn at the funerals, "Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by." I wonder tonight if you were to leave this scene of time. Most of your family are saved tonight and they will one day be in God's heaven, but tonight you're not ready. And there's every chance that that circle will be broken. You see, that's what leprosy was like. It caused separation. Sin causes separation from God and separation from loved ones for all eternity. You see the person tonight, Naaman. I'm trying to keep this very simple tonight. I'm a simple person myself. You see the problem, and then you see the pointer here. Look at verse number 2. Now the Syrians had gone out with companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And this little maid, she was going to tell Naaman that there was a cure, there was a remedy for him over in the land of Israel. There would be hope for him. Verse 3 says, she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. She knew about Elisha. She knew that there was a man there in touch with God, and he would have the remedy. There was absolutely no ambiguity here. She says there is a prophet that is in Samaria, and he would recover him, verse number 3, of his leprosy. Here was a young lady, and even though she'd been taken away captive, she wasn't resentful, she wasn't bitter, and even though she was a captive to this man, she loved him enough to tell him about the remedy for his big problem. I wonder why you're here tonight. Perhaps there was a young lady that invited you to the meeting this evening. Perhaps God's as close to you as that tonight. Maybe another family member, and they invited you here under the sound of the gospel. Maybe a friend tonight. But God had someone who came across you and come across your life that cared enough for you that they wanted to tell you there was a remedy for your sin problem tonight. That remedy is found in the person of Jesus Christ. This young maid trusted that the Lord would be able to do it. She said he would recover him of his leprosy. You see the person here. You see the problem here. You see the pointer. This young girl invited this man and pointed him to the remedy. Who has brought you here tonight? And then you see the pathway. Look what Naaman does. Verses 4 to 6. He goes to the wrong person. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. He wasn't asked to go to the king of Syria. The little maid said nothing about that at all. He goes to the wrong person, and then he's pointed to the king of Israel, verses 4 to 6. And one went in and told the king, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He went to the wrong person, and now he brings the wrong price. No one mentioned money. No one mentioned that this had to be paid for at all. You see, I spoke to someone recently from a Roman Catholic background, and they just can't get the simplicity of the gospel. Give me something to do. Show me what I have to pay. Show me what I have to suffer. Show me how I can earn this salvation and forgiveness of sins. The truth is that Christ has covered it all at Calvary. When Jesus went to the cross and died on that center cross and cried, it is finished, salvation's price was paid in full. There's nothing you have to do tonight. You just come as a sinner to Jesus. This man went to the wrong person. This man went with the wrong price. This man had the wrong plan. Look at verse 7. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does send to me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king of Israel thought the king of Syria was trying to start a war. Verse 8. It was so when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. The king of Israel knew he was useless. He could do absolutely nothing for Naaman, and he sends him to Elisha. I think you know the story, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Here's Naaman with all his pomp, and he comes to the home of Elisha. Elisha sends out a messenger to him, and the message is short, it's simple, and it's sure. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Here's the truth. There's no ambiguity here. There's no ifs or buts or maybes. If you go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, you're going to be clean, the leprosy will be gone, and you'll just be like a little babe. It was short, it was simple, it was sure. Just like the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No ambiguity, no ifs, no buts, no maybes. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. I can't make it any simpler this evening. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you struggle with the simplicity of the gospel tonight? The fact that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he went to Calvary and died in order to be your Savior. And he says, if you come to me tonight repenting of your sin and trusting me as your Savior, I'll take away your sins. You'll become a child of God and you'll be ready for heaven and for home. Naaman struggled with this. Look at verse 11. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he had his own notions. Now when someone gets saved, the Lord doesn't ask you to leave your brain out in the car park. In fact, the Lord says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. But Naaman had his own ideas. I thought something spectacular was going to happen. Something sensational was going to happen. I thought something magic was going to happen. Verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Here's a man and he's leaving in a rage. Here's a man filled with road rage. He's absolutely furious. Have you ever met a motorist who's full of rage? I was in Portadown one day, and I was looking for a car park in Portadown, and I saw the car park, but I saw it at the last minute. I just weaked into the car park, didn't realize I nearly took the nose of someone. And the person that I nearly took the nose of, he comes into the car park, and I could see he was foaming at the mouth. He was absolutely furious. And I knew if this man gets out, I haven't a hope because I couldn't beat eggs. That's what they used to tell me when I was growing up anyway. I had no hope against this man. And he was getting crosser and crosser and crosser. And I walked over to him and I says, I'm really, really sorry. It was my fault. I shouldn't have done it. I wasn't paying attention. And he didn't know what to do. And he just melted away and drove off. He never said a word. But I didn't get a hiding, and I was happy enough that I didn't get a hiding. But here's Naaman, and he heads away in a rage. And sometimes the gospel makes us angry. Makes us angry. People standing up and telling us that we're sinners on the way to a Christless hell. What right have they to tell us that? I'm as good as them. In fact, I'm better than them. And we get angry with the gospel. We get angry with the truth of the gospel. We don't like to be told we're on our way to hell. We don't like to be told that our lives need to change. We need to have Christ as our Savior. We don't like to be told that our good works won't cut it with God. Our church wouldn't cut it. My confirmation, my baptism, my giving, all my charitable acts, all my good neighborliness, it just won't cut it with God. I remember a great uncle of mine died. Funeral was in a place called Moneymore. And I remember the minister at the funeral, he said that, you know, when this man was sick, his friends come and milk the cows for him. Let me say, that's a good thing to do. He said, that's Christianity. Don't talk to me about being saved. That's what the man said from the pulpit. And all the people that were gathered in that building didn't hear the truth. They heard a lie from hell. But somehow good and good works will open the way for you to get to heaven. Naaman was filled with rage. He was angry at the thought that he would have to get off his high horse and get down and go into this river and be washed seven times. And so he's in a rage. He's heading away from hope. He's heading away from healing. And he's heading to hell. That's where he's going. Is that how you're going to leave tonight? Raging. Cross, angry. The Lord is working in your heart. The Spirit of God is convicting you of your sin, and you don't like it one little bit. Are you going to leave tonight angry with God? Angry, because the Lord has told you the truth tonight. Look at verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather when he said unto thee, wash and be clean. Thank God someone spoke to this man. Let me just say it again tonight. Has someone had a word with you? Has someone said to you, you're taking your chariot in the wrong direction? If you continue on your pathway, you're heading straight to hell. And when you end up in hell, you'll be in hell for all eternity. Has someone spoken to you about it? Has some friend come and put their arm around you and said, listen, you're going to have to change direction. You're heading away from God. You're heading away from hope. You're heading away from heaven, and you're going in the direction of hell. And maybe that's why you're here tonight. And God's really putting his finger in the spot tonight. Because that's how the Lord speaks. He speaks very personally. He speaks very directly. Someone has you here tonight because they care so much about you. And these servants of Naaman didn't want him to go in the wrong direction. And so he had to put on the brakes. And he slams on the brakes. He had been to the wrong person. He had offered the wrong price. He had taken the wrong pathway. And then you see something precious here. Look at verse 14. Then went he down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. This was difficult for Naaman to do. He'd have to pull up the chariot. He'd have to get down of the chariot. Make his way to the River Jordan. If you've ever been in the River Jordan, it's not the cleanest river. I baptized quite a few in it last year, I think it was. And sadly, you wouldn't get to it at the moment because of the trouble. And it's not the cleanest river. I'm sure it was no better in Naaman's day. And Naaman had to get off his horse and go down into the water and get under the water. It took humility. It took honesty. Is the Lord asking you to come humbly as a sinner to him tonight? Just like one of old said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's very difficult to say, me, a sinner. But if you want your life to be changed tonight, did you notice that he was just like a little child? Let me put it into New Testament language. It's as if he was born again. It's as if he was born again. Jesus said, ye must be born again. You know, Naaman not only was healed physically, he was healed spiritually. He says later on in the chapter in verse 15 that there's now no God but the God of Israel. He no longer offer anything to any other God, only the God of Israel. I believe Naaman not only was healed, but Naaman was saved by the grace of God. His life was changed. He heard the truth. He responded to the truth. He did exactly what God asked him to do. And what's the Lord asking you to do tonight? Repent. Repent of your sin. Trust Christ as your Savior. And you can be born again in this meeting this evening. I wonder tonight, as I think about the story of Naaman, and I don't know why the Lord led me to this story, but maybe some of you can tell me why tonight. Was there someone in your life that has pointed you in this direction tonight? Just like the little maid in the story of Naaman. Were you heading in the wrong direction? And someone come alongside you and said, look, would you not consider where you're heading this evening? Maybe there's a believer here tonight and you're heading in the wrong direction. There was a time when being here in this church was where you would normally be, but not anymore. Something got between you and the Lord, and somehow there's a distance between you and him this evening. You've been heading in the wrong direction. And just like Peter was saying, the Lord wants you to come back home tonight. He's standing with his arms wide open. He says, come home tonight. I don't know why the Lord brought me to this message this evening. But I wonder, is he putting his finger right on the spot this evening? Was someone here tonight? Dr. Harry Ironside told the story of it being on a train in the midst of a storm. And I've been in the United States. I was there when there was a storm called Storm Jonah, and the snow was coming down, and we had to take a train down to Washington. It was a scary experience, but this was many, many years ago, and this lady was on the train, and Ironside was on the train, and she had a little child, and she said, "How am I going to know where my stop is?" And Ironside said, well, ask the ticketmaster. He'll tell you where the stop is. And so she spoke to the ticketmaster, and others overheard what she was talking about, and he said, "I'll let you know when your stop's coming to make sure you get off in the right place." And the train went on and stopped, and then another stop, and then it made another stop, and the man sitting close to her said, "Listen, that's your stop. The ticketmaster's forgotten all about you." And so off she headed. She got out of the train, her and her little ones, and she got out into the darkness, and then the train moved off, and then the ticket master came down and said, "Where's the lady that wandered off at the next stop?" He says, "Oh, I told her to get off there because you forgot about her." He says, "That wasn't a stop. There was a blockage in the lane, and we had to clear the blockage." And Ironside tells the story that lady and her children perished because they were given the wrong information. And I'm not going to give you the wrong information tonight. I'll tell you tonight, except a man be born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. Unless you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be in God's heaven. You'll be in a lost sinner's hell. I wonder, is the Lord speaking to you tonight?